What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers weekly tech podcast. This is episode 281, right?
Yep, 281.
Yeah, I have the wrong video in the article that I'm looking at right there on the site. So don't use that video. Yeah, well, I'll fix that in a second. But yes, this is episode 281, and I have, of course, my co-host here, Ryan. What's going on?
Oh, just woke up from a little nappy nap ahead of the show. Talk tech. It looks like we got quite a few news items to go over.
There's a lot of stuff going on in the news. Yeah. There's just a lot. I got a lot of work done this week, which I'm pretty happy about.
Nice.
It's hot in this room. Yeah. I'm not a fan of that. So
dang.
So I have the AC on, but this room, right, there's only one vent and it's like up there. That's it. And I have a little fan going. It's like I'm debating whether to get like one of those kind of like larger like oscillating fans, but then I'm like, I don't know.
It might make it worth it.
Yeah, because I don't want to get like an AC unit that like you stick in the window or any of that crap. I'm done doing that. Yeah, so I'll figure that out. But our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you're buying an AC unit or anything there like you that, go. you can do that on Amazon. thinkcomputers.org/Amazon. Anything you purchase gives us a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast ongoing every week. That's kind of what I've been doing. So much work lately, website stuff, where we got lots of cool reviews coming. We got some launches coming. Mm-hmm. I got a really awesome graphics card the other day. I'm pretty pumped for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's you going sent me a picture of that thing.
I'm pretty excited for that. I mean, it's a 3090, I can tell you, but it's a newer one, so I'm pretty excited to check that out. So I know a lot of people, we didn't write a news article on this, but a lot of people were able to get 30 series graphics cards this past week because Best Buy did a drop where they had, like, it was kind of like a console launch. It was like, you know, you waited basically overnight, you got your number, you know, and you were able to get a graphics card, not only a 30 series graphics card, a 30 series graphics card at retail.
Yeah. Founders editions, right?
Founders editions. No,
cause I didn't really pay attention to the news. I saw that they were doing that, which I thought was really cool, or, you know, happy to see that happening again, but I didn't know, like, was it going to be all varieties of cards? You know, what the deal was. So was it all across the board 30 series cards?
It was all 30 series cards. All the pictures that I saw on Reddit were like more or less founders editions. I didn't see any, I didn't see any like Asus or Aorus cards or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So, it was cool though. It's good to see that. I think that,
absolutely,
you know, every once in a while on Reddit, you would see somebody post and be like, oh, I got a card at retail, but it was like, got a card at retail. It was like normalcy. It's like we were normal for a couple of days. So, that's something really exciting that happened over the past week. In the chat, we have Old Man is here. If you are in the chat and want to say what's up, definitely go ahead and do that. Whether you're on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, it should pop up here. I have the pop-out chat now, so I can see stuff faster, so at least on YouTube. So if you are there and you want to say hi, definitely go ahead and do that. But of course, let's get into our reviews this week. And I'm just messing up all day because I have to share my screen. Didn't do that yet. I'm just all over the place here. So if you guys did want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page, which I did say has the wrong video in it, so don't continue watching that video because that's last week's. But everything that we're going to be talking about this week, all the articles, everything like that. But to start things off, we have a NVMe SSD from Mushkin, which we don't hear a lot of as much lately, I would say. I don't know why, because...
You know what makes me happy about this? It's the black PCB.
Yeah, it is the black PCB.
Because the last Mushkin device I think it was maybe some memory, was it? I don't know. They had a green PCB, and it just was like, ah, come on,
guys. So this This is their newest Gen 4 NVMe SSD. I would say this is the second generation because it uses the new Phison E18 controller. This is the controller that you're going to see on a ton of new NVMe, Gen 4 NVMe SSDs. They sent us over the 2 terabyte version. It's available in 1, 2, and I think 4 terabyte versions. Rated speeds, 7,175 megabytes per second read and write up to 6,800 megabytes per second. Simple little drive, not much to it. No cooling whatsoever on the drive at all. You have a little sticker, but it's not a thermal sticker or anything. It's just a normal sticker. No cooling on the back. It is double-sided, so that will kind of limit you in terms of using this on a very thin and light device. Since it's double-sided, it won't be able to fit, but you can see the Phison E18 there. As Ryan noted, black PCB, which we like to see. Uses Micron 96-layer TLC NAND, and then it has 2 gigabytes of DRAM cache, one on each side of the drive as well. So just a simple little drive, not a whole lot to it. And when it comes to testing, I mean, this drive performs right up to its specifications, more or less. Does a really great job. Very, very fast. The one issue which I did run into with out-of-disk benchmark, you can see our first run here, and you can see the drive's doing really good, pretty much up to specifications, and then that write performance just, you can see towards the end here, tails off. And that is, what is that usually a sign of, Ryan?
Well, a lot of times it'll either be overheating or your cache issue.
It is a thermal throttling issue.
No.
Yeah. So, and that's kind of expected because Phison is known. And again, a lot of these other drives, we just reviewed the Viper VP4300. That came with 2 different types of heat sinks. No heat sink here. And if a drive does not come with a heat sink, we test it as such without a heat sink, even though our motherboard has heat sinks. Sure. So after I ran all the other tests and then I went back and I ran it again. And as you can see,
it's better.
No issues really at all. It goes right up to its specifications. And if we actually compare this drive to all the other Gen 4 drives that we've tested, I mean, it's pretty high up there in all of the tests. It competes with that Viper VP4300 quite easily. In all of the tests, and it's basically right behind it. You know what I mean?
Right.
In these tests, and it's actually the best at Anvil storage utilities, surprisingly. It's just a good drive. I mean, the E18 from Phison is an excellent controller. My gist on this whole drive is Mushkin wanted to put out something that was very inexpensive or aggressively priced, and they did that. This drive is, the 2 terabyte is $389.99. That's actually $70 cheaper than the Viper VP4300. Now, the Viper VP4300 does come with the 2 different types of heat sinks. If you're using a Gen 4 drive, I assume that you're on a board that has an integrated heatsink anyways, right? So you might not have to worry about that. There is no software. There's no SSD toolbox. There's none of that other stuff that you would get with some other drives. But you are saving some money on this drive. So that's something to keep in mind. 5-year warranty. Great performance. Price is there. I mean, it's aggressively priced. It will thermally throttle if you don't cool it properly, so keep that in mind. And like I said, no software.
Just throw this thing on a board with a heatsink, and you'll be just fine. And you're going to save $70 over that Patriot drive and get very similar performance. So I think this is awesome.
Yeah, it's a nice little drive. And like you said, they finally gave us a black PCB, so they're catching up here. So that is that's definitely nice to see there. Old man said thermal throttle, water cool it. LOL, they make M.2 water blocks now. Yes, they do. Is that something you would consider?
No.
At all? Would you do it just if you
were doing like a a flashy build, right? Or you're doing a custom build for a company and they wanted to show off like all those components or something, I could see it. But no, I would never do it on one of my systems.
Gotcha.
It's just not necessary at this point.
Yeah. I think it would look cool. It would look cool, really. if you could link all three of, like, say you had three on a board and you could link all three. Yeah. That'd look pretty cool. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that, actually. I don't think.
Yeah, you could do it.
But in any case, our next review is a mouse pad. And I don't know about you, but I'm a big fan of desk mat, the full size.
It has room
for my keyboard and my mouse when I'm just like, it's right in front of me. So it's, you know, just takes up that nice big space, gives me more than enough room for my mouse. So if I am playing at a lower, what's it called?
DPI.
Yeah, that's it. Lower DPI.
That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, a lower DPI. I can go, you know, I can move freely without jumping off my mouse pad. It also, I'm a setup guy. I like my setup to look nice, and having a full desk pad, I think, makes, you know, it makes the whole setup look nice.
I mean, I've got the, ever since I got my first one, which was this, I believe, the Corsair MM800, which is like their largest mouse mat that they made at the time. They may have a little larger one, but like, I love it. You know, like you said, it fits your keyboard, your mouse, like your cell phone can fit off to the side. So depending on your desk surface, it protects a little bit there. I mean, it's just so much room for activities. It's great.
Yes. And of course, Corsair. Corsair is widely known for our RGB. So they have made an RGB extended mouse pad or desk mat, whatever you want to call it. It's their MM700 RGB. I have it sitting in front of me because I'm pretty sure I'm just going to use this going forward because I like the way it looks and has some other cool features that other desk pads don't have. This is 930 millimeters long by 400 millimeters tall, I guess, or
deep.
Deep, yeah. I'm just totally not with it. And yeah, 4 millimeters thick there. And it is really, really big. I'll give you, I mean, you can kind of see it. This thing's huge. Very, very huge. And we have a little control box here, which of course is for the RGB. And pretty much all of these RGB mouse pads are designed the same. They have a control box in one of the corners or somewhere, and then they have this clear kind of tubing, and then there's actually RGB lighting in the control box, and it just goes through the light shines and it goes through this little tube, and it lights up the mouse pad, or the area around the mouse pad. Now, what's different about this compared to pretty much all the other ones, I don't think I've actually seen another one that's like this, is that this control box actually features two USB ports. So on top of it being a mouse pad, it's actually a 2-port USB hub. You have one on the front and one on the side. So this could be like, this is a USB headset that I have on. I could just connect that easily into there. If I wanted to, you could do your mouse and use, you know, a very short cable or however you want to do that. You could charge a phone. You can do a lot of stuff with it. I'm always a fan of adding more USB ports because you never know. That's because this uses a Type-C, and you just connect that into your computer very easily, and you're pretty much good to go. The mouse pad itself, I would say, is more like a speed pad. Like, it feels like a speed type mouse pad. It's very fast. Okay. My mouse moves across it very nicely. No, like, just really, really nice. Here's basically, if I look down right now, this is what it looks like. Like, that's what my setup looks like. So you can see more than enough room there. The lighting, now you don't have to install IQ if you don't want to. By default, there's 12 different effects, and there's a little button on the back of the controller that allows you to cycle through those effects, or you can install IQ and you can configure. There's actually a total of 3 different lighting zones. You have the top left corner, the bottom right corner, and then the actual Corsair logo on the control box. And you can control them independently. You can control them together. You can do whatever you want. There's so many things in IQ. If you've ever used IQ, it's one of the better ones for RGB. So you can do whatever you want.
Okay. I'm curious then. You were mentioning that the LEDs were in that box up there. Is that right?
Yes.
So how are they changing the lighting across three zones? Because like if you had, let's say, green in the top right, right, with that smaller box, and then you wanted red in the bottom right, how are they putting the red at the bottom right if the light is emanating from that box?
Well, you see, so you can see the line here. So no, there's a light on the Corsair logo. So so this logo is this logo itself.
Oh, I gotcha.
Is
the third light?
This is the third light. So you have you have a light that goes this way.
That's actually your light, logo.
Yeah. Okay. A light that goes this way, and then your logo. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. Gotcha. Sorry. I thought that there were three like zones around the and I was trying to figure out how they were doing that. But yes, makes total sense now.
But yeah, it's the lighting looks great. As you can see. It is now I have reviewed a few of these, and I do have to say this one does feel like the fill is better in dark lighting, like the actual fill. It doesn't seem like there's like empty spots, if that makes sense, which I've noticed.
Yeah, because when I did that $5 mouse pad,
right,
it had the same thing, but you would find spots along the way where it was just like no light shining here.
Yeah,
and in these images, it looks like it's glowing pretty well.
Yeah, it's fully, you know, it's a Corsair product. Like it's okay, done.
They're not going to release it if it doesn't do what it needs to do.
Yeah. And what's nice about this is that, you know, you can turn off the lighting, you can set the brightness, you can do all that in software, which is really nice. You don't get all of that with other RGB mouse pads per se, for the most part. It is expensive. It's $59.99. I think with they gave you some value add on with the software and with the USB hub. I think if it didn't have the USB hub, I wouldn't be as into it as I am. But I do think the mouse pad itself is good quality. Again, you get the software and you get the USB hub. So a little expensive, but I like it. I can't say anything bad about it, really. So
Old Man was saying, doesn't the LED mouse pad reflect in the monitor? What I've seen is it's more like a glow, not a shine, right? Think of like an LED backlit LED keyboard or something. It's a glow, it's not a shine. When I've tested them, never even noticed them reflecting at all, especially if you don't have a monitor that isn't like a glass panel or glossy, right?
Yeah.
But I've never noticed it.
I've had this for about 2 weeks now on this desk, I've been, especially the past week, shooting videos in here. I have all the light or all the windows blocked off, so you would see more of a reflection. I don't see it at all. So I guess it all depends. Like I said, the diffusion in the RGB lighting is good, so you don't see it on the reflection on the monitor. So at least in the setup that I have, and I have this big old 49-inch thing in front of me. So no issues there. Check out both reviews. Like I said, cool products this week. So that brings us to Case Mod Friday, and we have a build with a very interesting name, but it makes sense. This week we have a case mod called Project Wet Dream. And this is by Tristan Talks Tech. And I have to say this is pretty cool looking. Obviously my favorite thing is the loop-de-loo. How hard is that to do? How hard is that to do so they look identical, like they look here? Because you can do one and then
so they probably have a cylinder that they bent it around, you know, so that they're the same radius and everything and keep the bend. But what would be the hardest part of that is they either had to heat up a long section of tubing and bend it all at once, or do it in sections to, you know, wrap it around to get that full more than 360 degrees, because they're going, 360 plus another 90 degrees. So if they were doing it in sections, you risk like reheating portions that have already been bent and thinning out the plastic that's, you know, already been molded the shape you want. So I'm not sure how they would have done this unless they had a different way of like heating up that larger section all at once with multiple heat guns. But then you have a really long section of tubing that's soft and you're really starting to get some pliability. And I'm not sure. However they did it, they did a great job because it looks perfect.
Yeah, it looks excellent. He actually has a whole video on it too. If you guys want to check that out, it is in the article.
And there's multiple loops, which is nice.
Yeah.
It looks great.
I've always been a fan of the, and this started years ago with the really big cases where you had two different loops, two different colors, and you had like both reses kind of sitting here like this. That's, I've been a fan of that forever. It's just, you know.
You know what I just realized? That's a mirror on the back side. It's not two like purple loops there and two white/clear loops on the motherboard tray there. Like you see.
Yeah.
No, not there. At the front of the case.
Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a mirror. It goes. Yeah. I thought that it was like going through a panel and there was another loop on the other side.
Oh, no. I didn't. I
knew perception was off on this. So.
Yeah. Here's those loops. Awesome. Again, look at that.
Yep. No, they look great.
That's just crazy. But yeah, it was a $15,000 build that he did. So a lot of. Asus RG Maximus 12 Formula, Asus TUF RTX 3090 OC, 128 gigs of Trident Z Royal. That's pretty awesome.
i9 10 product.
Yeah, i9 10900K. The ROG Thor 1200 watt power supply. Like that's pretty badass system in here, and like I said, incredibly well done as well. It just looks awesome. So go ahead and check that out, and as I always say, we do have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds if you want to see what's possible. And this week I did get a video done. I've been meaning to get videos done. I've just been, every time I think I have the good setup, I want to buy more stuff. So I bought a new light and got more stuff, and I'm finally at the point where I like the A-roll shot, which I'll show you guys here in a second, of what I look like in this video. Make it bigger so you guys can see it. But like this shot, I'm a big fan of the shot. So
I think it looks good.
So yeah, so I did a video on the Gigabyte Z590 Aorus Master. That's actually one of the better Z590 boards that we reviewed. I actually use it in our Z590 test bench. Like we go through boards, but this is the one that stays. Like that is our Z590 test bench, is the Z590 Aorus Master. So I did a video on it. So if you want to check it out, definitely let me know how you like the A-roll. I do have to say though, so I shot this video like a week ago, and then like 3 days ago, I'm doing the edit and I'm super excited because I'm like, I got these great shots. Like I'm super excited. Like it's just like, everything came together like really awesome for this. And then I start the edit and I realize that I say Z590 Aorus Ultra and I say it twice. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, do I have to reshoot this? But I didn't. I just put a little text over it saying that I messed up. But that was the only... That's the only thing I did wrong in the video, but check out the video. It is linked in our show notes. You can go ahead and check that out. So let's go to news. And there's a lot going on. A lot of cool stuff. A really cool announcement this past week and some other stuff going on. So first, it looks like AMD will be launching the Radeon RX 6600 XT and 6600 on August 11th. This is the latest rumor coming out. I'm actually excited for these. As I always say, more graphics cards in the hands of more people. These will be not incredibly inexpensive, but more inexpensive than what's out there right now from AMD. I don't know. I mean, we do have this render that AMD actually did provide. I don't know if they're going to have a reference, but I do like the center fan design. I've always liked the center fan design.
Yeah, it looks neat. You know, I think if that's the design they go with, you know, whether it's got a few tweaks here and there, will be a good looking card.
Yeah. So 6600 XT, 6600 non-XT, both of the cards will be very inexpensive. Obviously, we're 2 weeks away, I think?
Like that. The 11th?
Almost like 3 weeks away.
3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, so I think as we get closer to that time, we will see more leaks and stuff like that. So definitely just stay tuned for all of that. On the NVIDIA side, it looks like we are going to get an RTX 30 series refresh in 2022. That kind of makes sense. I don't think with it is what it's already July. We have on the high end, we have everything that we would expect to have. We have all the cards. You wouldn't think to see a refresh for holiday season. It just wouldn't make sense, especially considering most people who wanted a 30 series still haven't been able to get one because of availability and scalping and everything like that. So I think like CES 2022, you would see
super announcements.
Yeah. I think that would be the smart move for them. Because it's not like there's no demand, right, for these cards. So even through holiday season, you're going to sell a ton of these.
My demand, like my personal demand, is actually waning because I was like, oh, you know, maybe I should think about getting one if they start becoming more available. But I'm like, I'm already like almost a year, like late to getting one. But yeah. With a super refresh, you know, I'm on a 2070 super, so I'm not one to. Yeah. I can't, you know. Knock them too much if I'm already a proponent of the supers. So maybe this will be what gets me to move up to a new generation.
Yeah, it will be interesting. I like I said, I think you'll see them at CES 2022 in January. At least if not an announcement, at least a little hint at it. And then you have the GDC or the GTC, GPU Technology Conference. Isn't that in March, I believe? That's when you can see the actual announcement. You know what I mean? Because again, we're getting back to like real in-person events. So I think that you're not going to see a webcast from Jensen's kitchen in his 30 spatulas. So yeah, that's exciting. I like I said, new graphics cards, more powerful graphics cards. I'm all for it. 2022, early 2022 makes sense. Maybe a release towards the middle of 2022, but at least some type of inkling or announcement, probably first quarter, I would say. So yeah. Also on the NVIDIA side, now this was really cool. So Case King, which is a German hardware retailer, they do this sort of like pimp my ride type thing where like if you have a really crappy PC, they'll like pimp it out.
Okay.
And what they, you know, people bring in the crappiest computer. Well, a computer was brought in that was in a house fire. It was in a house fire. And Case King is really good friends with the Bauer, and he did a video on this system, which this is, I mean, it was legit in a fire.
Yeah.
And what was really interesting about it is that, well, here, that's what the graphics card looked like. But both the CPU and graphics card, once they were cleaned up, both of them survived. They survived this house fire. The Bauer has a whole video on his YouTube, which we have linked in the article, which you can check out. But to have something that was that just, I mean, obviously, like he had to remove everything and clean it out and put new cooling on it, which he did and all of that. But that just shows that like these products are made for high heat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's kind of crazy. I'm surprised more plastic on there didn't melt. Right. I can't tell if that heat shroud melted a little bit. Kind of towards the end there, maybe it looked like it had, but and then look at that. Yeah, that image there. Look at, is that an all-in-one with like,
yeah,
oh, those are fans.
Yeah, fans. See, melted.
I bet that was a fan at the back that just melted into a puddle of plastic, and then a fan probably from the top just like drooped down. Oh gosh.
Yeah.
That was an Alpha Cool cooler. It's got their fittings and that's one of their radiators. Yep.
Isn't that just crazy though?
It's pretty nuts.
Yeah, so really cool.
It's got an optical drive, which is insane, but
But the graphics card was a 2070 Super, the same card you have.
Yep.
So yeah, really cool. DeBauer has the video, like I said, on his YouTube, so definitely check that out. Really cool. But definitely noteworthy for sure. And Old Man says that is what some people think will happen to their PC if they overclock.
That's what moms tell their teenage kids or whatever. They're like, don't you go overclocking that. We just spent good money on that and it's gonna start on fire.
Now, I have seen in my time, I have seen at LAN events and other things, I have seen PCs start smoking, but mainly it's because the power supply, like people never buy a cheap power supply. Like we post, so like on our social media, we post like a deal every day from Amazon. And every time I go look for these deals, because I'm the one who finds these deals, every time there's a no-name power supply for like $50 and it's like an 850 watt.
Don't do it.
And then like all I see is like that like meme of like, this is fine, everything's fine with like the fire. Yeah. Like that's what I see when I see those on sale on Amazon. Just get like a known brand of like EVGA, Corsair, what's the other one?
Like Silverstone.
Silverstone. Like Fractal, like any of those. Be Quiet as well. Like any of those, just get a known brand of power supply, please. Because that's probably where you're gonna have issues.
That reminds me, we need to bring back the, I don't remember even what we called it because we haven't done one forever. Like the crappy setups.
Worst PC setups. You've been saying this for like a couple months. I just haven't done it.
Have I?
You've been saying. Right. Past few.
We need to bring it back
once. Yeah. So. On to CPU stuff. Big news. If this happens, this will help you with availability of at least Intel CPUs, and it will probably help their bottom line because people, like I said, the M1. From Apple is killing a lot of their CPU market share, but they're in talks to buy GlobalFoundries. If you didn't know what GlobalFoundries is, they're a foundry. They make processors, CPUs, things like that. Their market share is about 7% of the global CPU marketplace, but this will give Intel more capacity. Intel already has foundries, but they're building more and they're expanding their current foundries. But because of the global CPU shortage, this would make sense for them. It would be their biggest purchase to date if it goes through. $30 billion, that's a lot.
It's so funny that it's global foundries because that was AMD's in-house fab that they spun off, and now Intel's in discussions to buy it. Seasonic, yes. George Shapiro in chat. Yeah, Seasonic. Yeah. I couldn't even think of them either.
Most companies, not all of them, but a lot of power supply manufacturers use a Seasonic designed power supply. You'll see that a lot. Some companies like to hide it, but other companies like, this is Seasonic made. And if you know anything about power supplies, Seasonic is one of the best. So, it'd be interesting to see they're in talks right now. Obviously this would take some time to go through, but it would, as we get into the next couple years and what we would hope would be the next node down for desktop should bring a lot, at least Intel thinks will bring a lot more people back to the Intel side on desktop when a lot of people have gone AMD because of availability, pricing, things like that. They're going to need the capacity. So we shall see. And it would give them, not only for their own, but it would give them if they don't rebrand the fabs to Intel, it would be another business for them to, to make chips for other people as well. That is some interesting stuff. We talked about the Core i9 12900K. The first leaks were last week. There's more leaks this week. The real interesting one is that the QS or qualification samples are selling on the black market for over $1,000 on basically like the Chinese version of eBay. Yeah, Intel is not a fan of this. That's why they have blocked off the serial number here, because the serial number is linked. Like, if you ever
review, it can be tied to somebody,
if you ever review, they know which samples are sent to you by the serial number. That's why it's blocked off. But yeah, that's rather interesting. I guess people would buy it just to have it, I guess. But I mean, if I'm somebody who wants that, I don't think I'd want a QS. I'd want like the finished thing.
Yeah. You know? Because they're still going to be able to make improvements to the product there. So,
yeah. Nelson in the chat, he said 30 billion, just enough to buy two 3090 Ti and SLI. I don't think we're going to see a 3090 Ti, but they would be very expensive, especially on the secondhand market, if they would ever come out. So here we go. We were talking about EVGA's X570S Dark. They finally revealed their Z590 Dark.
Okay.
What do you think? Like, what do you think of the board?
It's like so much going on this board.
There's so much going on.
For as little as there actually is, right? Like, we're only getting two memory slots, obviously, because it's an overclocking board. Slots. But they've thrown in some RGB, huge heat sinks. I like the copper,
real copper on the VRMs, which is very important. So, they've rotated the CPU socket, and there's ton of room. So you could put an LN2 pod on there, which I think a lot of people will be doing. All of the indents, which you expect to see,
especially with EVGA.
There's two expansion slots. I don't know if these are the two switches to turn them on and off, or at least one switch to turn one of them off.
You're talking about turn it on and off the PCIe slots.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The PCIe slots. $600.
Okay.
There's another shot of it, but yeah, $600. For it, heavily, like I said, overclocking board. And actually, you can see from this picture just how big or how tall
the heat sinks are.
Yeah, the heat sinks are.
Well, they're going to need to have that. I mean, a lot of times when you put those pots on there, you're not getting some of the airflow that you get sometimes inside of a case. They usually have fans blowing on them. But yeah, you need that extra surface area. To dissipate all that heat there.
Yeah. Real quick in the chat, Nelson asked, do you guys know when the next generation of Threadripper will be? Honestly, right now, no clue.
Nope, no idea.
Yeah, no idea, really. There hasn't been any leaks.
I haven't even heard rumors or anything yet.
No rumors, no leaks. Usually we get everything that we know from leaks, and I don't know of anything. I think it's been so successful that, like, there hasn't, because they did everything that Intel took out, mainly giving you the full complement of PCIe lanes, because, you know, Intel started doing it based on the processor, where each of the Threadripper processors would get the full amount of PCIe lanes, and you have massive core counts and everything that you would want for a high-end desktop system. So yeah, nothing. Maybe we'll hear something as we get closer to holiday time. That's when we release schedules. But again, it's gonna be a little while, I would say, for Threadripper.
Yeah.
So this Z590 Dark, if you were an overclocker, is this a board that you would want?
Yeah, probably. I think it's. I mean, I don't pay too much attention to like overclocking specific boards, but just the history that the Dark line has had I would put it right up there. Yeah.
And I believe the highest end Maximus board is like $200 more expensive. So, and that's their super high end enthusiast board. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and even that board feels more just like you said, a high-end enthusiast board, not like as extreme overclocking as this board from EVGA would be.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And here's something interesting. I want to that's why I included this story. Thermaltake came out with new colors for their mini 100 case, which is pretty popular. It's mm-hmm. a mini ITX case. They came out with a racing green and a turquoise. So here's the racing green. And then here's the turquoise. I would say, honestly, I don't like the racing green, but I like the turquoise. Because the
they call it racing green, but it's more of a hunter green to me, at least in some of those.
Yeah.
Some of the angles make it look hunter green. The front looks, I don't know, less hunter greenish. I agree. I like the turquoise better, and I think you could have some pretty sweet looking builds in there, especially obviously the obvious choice is to do a white and turquoise build, I think. In there, you know, I think the black interior with white components offsetting it would look pretty sweet.
And what they've also done is they've matched these with their
RGB. Is ugly.
Yeah, that's the ugliest memory I've ever seen.
Yes, we just got away from green PCBs, and now you want to put it on the heatsink. That looks
the turquoise would match so much better.
Yeah,
I feel like this green is not the same color as this green. Like they're just different.
Well, and those are look like pretty. I don't even think those are renders of the memory sticks. That looks like someone like me modified the color in Paint or Photoshop. Yeah. Like that's how it would turn out if I did it. They're just.
Yeah, I do like the turquoise. I think for those two would go together. I don't like the green, but now they have. This isn't even all the colors. I think there's a pink as well.
I like that yellowish gold color. I think that looks good too.
Yeah, the metallic gold they have. So this is kind of like their. And I think that if you find a popular case as a case manufacturer, you should offer put it out in maybe white and black initially, and if it is really popular. Give people what they want. Give them more colors. You know what I mean? So that's what they're doing with the Tower 100. It is a little bit larger for like a mini ITX. It's not incredibly small, but it's small enough, and it has the full window there on the front. So and on the sides a little bit. So it does allow you to show off your build too. So if you're looking for different colors, they have that. Now the big announcement last week, probably it kind of came out of nowhere. I don't think we talked about any handheld from Valve at all, but they announced Steam Deck, which I can't is their hardware take on mobile gaming, all in one PC, custom SoC from AMD, starting at $399. Obviously, it's from Valve and it's called Steam Deck, so it works with Steam, so all of your Steam games will be compatible, because it's a technically a PC, I would assume, and I know you're going to say it's going to be highly moddable. Your thoughts on this? I
mean, highly moddable, you mean software-wise or
software-wise?
I don't think component-wise it's going to be. Outside of additional storage on it, I don't think you're going to see anything
that's
upgradable or changeable. But like, you know, skins and stuff, sure.
And like putting like you put Windows on it or whatever.
Yeah, I know. But like, I guess.
Yeah.
Who wants to run Windows on that? Like, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah. Or like other versions of Linux or sure.
No,
whatever.
I think it's neat. I'm surprised by the price points. It's much more affordable than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But I think it's also going to be a lot bigger than people are expecting once they like see it in person. Because some of the screenshots I feel like are a little deceiving. I think it's going to be quite a bit bigger than people think, which I think is good because you're going to get a bigger screen to work with there. So I'm excited to see this in person, but I don't know where I would see it in person without buying.
Yeah.
You were saying, you know, it is based on Zen 2 and like you said, you know, Radeon graphics as well, RDNA 2. I looked at it just real close because we had the Steam Deck, and then I don't know if we have New Elgato products, talking about it later. So we had a Steam Deck and a Stream Deck released on the same day, and I paid more attention to the Stream Deck. So
of course you did. But yeah, like I said, $399 is the initial one. I believe all of like the CPU and GPU are the same. The price increases with storage options. I'll go to the, so we can see. Oh, that looks better than the pictures.
Render always does. Well, yeah, not always.
Let's see.
But yeah, I think they learned a lot from their hardware, right? The Valve Index and their
and they have so much Valve data
controller. Yes, that too.
It'll
be interesting. I'm a little scared away by the storage because and I don't like that it's a 64 gig eMMC like they show there, right?
Yeah.
I don't like, and 64 gigs, what are you putting on that? Just like real basic games from this. Not that I don't have 100 games that could all load in that 64 gigs that are just like these, you know, 8-bit games that you buy for 99 cents or something during a Steam sale. But I think you're definitely going to want to get the NVMe storage for sure
on this. Yeah, and the thing that I'm wondering is, again, I didn't research all that much. Here's it like being used as a PC.
Yeah, and it's got a dock, which is awesome. So,
yeah. Now, is this going to have like the NVIDIA Shield functionality where I can stream games from my actual PC to
this? I believe it does.
Okay. Yeah, there's a dock. Dock sold separately.
Yeah, it'll be neat.
Yeah, so CPU is Zen, 4-core, 8-thread processor, GPU, 8 RDNA 2. Let's see, So they did say, and that's our next story, is they did say that, an old man just said, Gabe said you can upgrade the internal M.2 in even the cheaper model. And I think that's what a lot of people will probably do. Yep. So they said that, you know, it's an M.2 2230. And you can apparently update those if you want to. Even though on the website it says non-upgradable, I assume that you could, you know, and they actually said
it's the short 2230 form factor as well.
Yeah. So yeah, because it says not intended for end user replacement, but that's going to be the first thing that people do. You buy the cheaper model and then you get M.2 later or whatever, you know, save up some more money or whatever.
Get a 2 terabyte drive and put actual like full size games on it.
Yeah. So, I would like 10 years ago, I'd be all for this. I really don't like play games anymore, especially mobile games. And I'm not somewhere where like I'm sitting somewhere for a long period of time without something to do. And if I do have something to do, I'm probably working. But I think for a lot of people, this is going to be awesome. A lot of people, you have a Switch, there are a lot of good games, but it's, you know, you're Nintendo kind of bound, you know, and a lot of those, and this brings your whole PC library essentially onto a handheld. With the Switch, you have to buy all those games. Where, like, I mean, how long have you had Steam?
Like 16 years.
Yeah, so, like, you have 16 years worth of game purchases. You know, in old games that you might never play sitting down on your PC, but, like, oh, that'd be great to play, you know, while I'm on the bus or train going to work. Flight or whatever. I think it's going to do well. I think it's going to do really well. And our next story is even funnier. People are selling their pre-orders already. So I guess can you still pre-order? Like, can I reserve this? Let me see. I'm on the website now.
I know it went up for pre-order like the day or day after it was announced.
So if you could like log, I have to log into Steam. I'm not going to do that, but I assume you can just still do it. You know, expected order availability now is Q2 2022. The first So that must be for the first round of these. So pre-orders are selling for close to $5,000. And I assume these are the, so pre-order Q1 2022.
Jeez.
Scalpers, that's where we live in a world of scalpers now.
Yeah.
So if you want one early, you're going to have to, for some crazy reason, be able to find one at retail. If are they doing retail? Are they doing like Best Buy, Walmart,
Target? So, not at this point.
Yeah. So, yeah. So if I order today, I would get it by Q2 2022. There are probably some for, they said September was the initial. So, yeah.
Go.
So if you want one early, buy it for $5,000 off a scalper, or you could you could build a nice PC for $5,000.
You can build two nice PCs for $2,500 each.
Yeah, scalpers are going to be scalpers, I would say. So yeah. Talking about Bitcoin, there was the massive crackdown of mining in China. A lot of people were stealing electricity and all this kind of stuff. But a lot of mining firms are moving to Canada. Because I guess Canada is, and there's actually a lot of moving to the U.S. But it says up to 1 million Bitcoin mining systems could shift to Canada from China. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. What do you think that, like, mining, like, especially, I mean, there's always going to be like illegal mining, I guess, because people stealing electricity.
Yep.
Do you think that with a lot of these mining operations who might have been legitimate in China, but now that there was a crackdown or whatever, you know, they're coming to the United States, they're coming to, do you think it will help crypto? Would stabilize it? Would,
I don't know how it would, is going to necessarily stabilize crypto. I mean, I think, I don't know. I don't think they'll definitely won't be as profitable as they were able to be over in China.
Correct.
There's just, and I say this, I guess, without any real knowledge of, I've never been to China. I don't know how like strict, you know, like, oh, hey, there's a cable running from that building into this building. Right. Like I say all this like as speculation too. Like, I assume it's harder to steal power in the US and other locations than it is in China. I could be totally off base. It could be harder there. I don't know.
They are saying, like, did we talk about it? I don't know if we talked about it, but I guess one of the nuclear power plants in Pennsylvania, I believe that they're building a crypto mining farm there and using the nuclear power to power.
Okay. It. Interesting.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they'll shift to wherever they can make money while mining. Right.
Yeah.
Even if it costs a decent chunk to move like that whole lab from China to Canada, like in this story or somewhere else, they'll pay those amounts as long as it's still profitable for them to move there, set up a new location and continue mining as long as power is affordable, rent is affordable.
Yeah.
Whatever cooling
they use. So this company in this story, Optimum Mining, they're working with BlackRock Petroleum Company. So, I think a lot of these like more legitimate mining operations, there are teaming with power companies or bigger companies that have the capacity to give them power,
sure,
whatever the trade-off is, you know? So it's interesting to see, you know, yeah, so we'll see how this kind of shapes up over the next few years, but very interesting story there. And two more stories. The first one is that we have Windows inside of your Windows. I heard you like Windows, bro. So Microsoft announced Windows 365 Cloud Streaming Service. So this allows you to essentially stream Windows within Windows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess this is mainly for business, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we've seen streaming when it comes to gaming. This is the same thing. It's going to stream a Windows instance to you. So I assume it's going to work on all devices as well, like whether you have an iPhone or whatever, where you could work remotely, where the security risk of certain, you know, people, a lot of people are working more remote. So this helps with security because the instance is being run in a secure facility, you know, all that kind of stuff. The thing that I wonder is that with this Windows cloud service, are we going to see a Surface cloud computer that's like $100 where you just run
like a thin client?
Yeah. Are we going to see that? Is that going to be the next Netflix?
I think this has potential to do that, right? And now we're finally at the point where it makes sense, right? The netbook was always underpowered. It came out too soon, right? Mm-hmm. Chromebooks and stuff have kind of pushed that along and shown that we can operate successfully on a pretty low powered but decent performance, affordable system. So I think there is potential for some sort of thin client, whether it's a, you know, desktop or laptop based type of device that then just logs into a session out on the internet.
And I think you wrap that, that whatever you call it, the next generation of, like you said, netbook, you wrap that with a free year of this service, and then people pay for the service going forward after that first year.
And what, you know, I think that's probably the way it'll pan out, or at least I think that sounds like a viable option. Greg in chat says, or George in chat says, Windows 365 on your Stream Deck or Steam Deck. The only thing I have noticed, you know, I've looked into thin clients a few times over the years, and you almost get to a point where the thin client is almost as expensive as just a desktop PC, because it's like, oh, it's running a standard processor and it's got storage in it. And you're like, well, why am I spending so much money on this thin client and then having to back it up with a server in the background that's actually running its desktop? So hopefully we can get away from that.
Yeah. Do you think that this will be, barring obviously your internet connectivity, obviously if you're on something pretty slow, the experience isn't going to be as good. You know, but do you think that we are going to, you know, because you can, like even Old Man just said, a USB on your TV monitor streaming 365, like I can stream 4K to my TV with a Fire TV stick, which is incredible, which only has 8 gigs of RAM and like not a whole lot of, I mean, that processor that's in there can't be, you know, great. So, I mean, do you think we're coming to that point where this is viable on a $100 device?
Sure. Think of how powerful the newest Raspberry Pi is and how affordable they are. You just rank up a bit. Sure.
Like I said, the Fire TV stick is, I mean, you could get it essentially like on, you know, but like, I think it's like $40. So you have a $100 device that essentially replaces your PC. You plug it in to an HDMI on a monitor. It has Bluetooth for keyboard and mouse, or it comes with a bundle for $100. Mm-hmm. And then you just sell people a monthly subscription to this. Do you think that's where we're headed? Sure. Wasn't that the plan all along with computers in the first place? Where you would have a console, and isn't that a thing?
It's just like always updated, and you just have a subscription. I mean, that's kind of how they were touting Windows 10 as like, hey, this is the last version of Windows, right? And it would morph into something like that.
But no, I mean, I think that is the way to go. I think nobody, I mean, obviously our use case, like my use case of being like editing video and doing other things. But I mean, so many people, and a lot of people over the past few years have replaced their entire desktop with a phone, because the phone can do the email, it can do Word or Google Docs or whatever. Like, you don't need a fully fledged PC. And now if you're doing all of that in the cloud, you really don't need a whole lot of horsepower at all. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Old Man also said Microsoft wants everybody on their subscription services. I think everybody wants everybody on their subscription services. My buddy was talking the other day. He's like, yeah, I think I'm paying over $100 in streaming and like different streaming services that he has. I mean, like, because in the beginning, everybody's like, yeah, I'm a cable cutter, I'm saving so much money. But then if you add up all these subscriptions, I mean, think about it. You have Netflix, Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, HBO Max, like you add them all up and, you know, I don't know. Everything is a subscription. We've just changed. We changed it all, you know. George in the chat, I remember all this surefire talk when Windows 8 came out, that Windows soon would be free and would be in order to compete and maintain market share, which is more important. Yeah. Like I said, I think like within 2 years, you'll see that device and you'll see it bundled with a year free of this Windows 365. And then in order to continue using it, you got to pay the monthly fee.
Yeah. But just think about it. If you're like, if that thing can stream an environment that has the capability to last a long time, right? Like they don't, I don't need to update this device because in the cloud they're continually updating and I'm just paying a subscription, right? And that hardware is being upgraded and I don't have to upgrade this thing.
If you look at the screenshot too, it says like 8 vCPU, 4 vCPU, 2 vCPU. So it looks like there's going to be different levels. Like this one has 32 gigabytes of RAM. This one has 16. This one has 4. And then the storage is obviously different too. So I think based on what you're doing, you could get a different PC essentially. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. And then we'll run to our last story here, which I wasn't showing you guys the screenshots. Sorry. Where it shows the difference, you know, the different levels or the different cloud PCs. Let's go to Elgato, which we didn't do a story on, but we'll go through the products. And then Old Man in the chat, he also said, even Xbox Game Pass has cloud gaming. We talked about that probably about a month ago. We talked about it on the podcast. They're talking about streaming your games to a USB type device eventually. Yeah, I think that's where we're going. I think one, internet in the US has gotten so good that you can have a pretty good experience, even gaming, on a low power device because it's just all the internet that's doing everything. So we shall see. Let's bring up Elgato. First, they had their face cam, which is a 1080p webcam. I haven't looked into these all that much, but I this thing looks to be able to do some pretty cool stuff. I believe this is $100.
Pretty sure it's more than that.
Let's see. I'll have to...
I think it's like two something.
Oh, $200. Yeah. $200 webcam.
But that's cheaper than like what I'm using, a Canon M200 with a, you know, an HDMI cable out to a cheap HDMI to USB capture device. And from,
I was watching some of like the live stream. It does look like, I mean, like if you even look at the software, yeah. Like you can do quite a lot with it. You can do shallow depth of field. You can do a lot with it. And I think if anybody's going to make a good webcam, it's going to be Elgato. You know what I mean?
Oh, I knew that they would, you know, as soon as Corsair had them, I knew it was only a matter of time before they came out with one. Yeah. And I'm glad that they, not glad, but I like to see them beat Logitech to coming out with a better streaming cam. Cause I mean, Logitech's, you know, they have their tried and true, the C920 and all the offshoots of it. And they even have their more advanced cameras, but I think this one is really going to set the bar for going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like you can do a lot. You can change the white balance exposure. You can do a lot of stuff with it. So $200 is not cheap, but I think for people who are streaming, who are gaming, who, you know, my webcam is $800. Mm-hmm. Oh, that I use for webcam. I use it for other stuff too, but I mean a lot of people were looking at $400-$500 cameras that they would use to stream, and now you have a $200 one that can do around the same type of quality, and it's a lot easier to do as well. So they had that. They have the Stream Deck MK2. Is this any different than the Stream Decks that are out there?
I don't think that there's much difference, honestly, right? Because I've got the original Stream Deck. It's a 15-button device. I don't know that they've really changed much other than kind of the back shape. It's got the, yeah, they do offer like these skins, the face plates,
Yeah.
right? Which is okay, whatever. That's fine. Stream Deck Store for plugins, but I don't think that's limited to the Mark II version.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, it's neat that they're giving a new, an updated version of the device because the Stream Deck's been out for
Is
quite a few years
the,
now.
do you know if the hardware inside was updated?
I don't. I'm not sure. Maybe they gave like a higher resolution screen to give more clarity to the buttons and everything, but it already looks great. Like I just activated mine to bring the screen back on and it's pretty high
Yeah.
resolution already. So I think they just, Mark II and gave it some tweaks here and there.
Gotcha. All right. And then they also have the Wave XLR, which I was excited for. And then when I figured out it was only one port, it wasn't as exciting. So Wave XLR is an audio interface for a microphone like I'm using, which is an XLR mic. It gives you phantom power. It's just an easier audio interface made for streamers. I like the idea. I would want more than one input, but still, you know what I mean? It gives you everything that you need, easy setup, all that kind of stuff. And it obviously, I guess they're making faceplates for that too, I
It
guess.
also has me wondering if they're going to come out with a XLR microphone of their own.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, they're not showing. I mean, this looks like a SM7B. But yeah, you can. There's a lot of different stuff, and the software is going to work really great with that. And I think they had one
See, and
more.
like,
Okay.
like right there on the front, you can actually press that dial and switch through the different little modes, like your line out volume, your mix of the
Of the,
your
yeah.
audio and your microphone, gain and everything, which is similar to the controls that are on the Wave 3
Okay.
that I use.
Gotcha. And then they had the, oh wait, I thought there was a,
They didn't feature them up here at the top of their page, but down below they have like some new arms and some
new,
mounting options.
yeah, so like a wall mount, the arm, which almost all arms are the same. This one's a little different because it's more made to go either over your monitor, and there's a lot that aren't good at that. So the Wave mic arm is made to go really over your monitor, as you can kind of see in the picture. It's made to go over, and then the Wave mic arm LP is the smaller version, and
I think
it's made
that
to
one's pretty
go
sweet.
under your monitor. It's low profile, so big difference. This one has the bigger base here, so and yeah, so
See
cool
that
stuff.
LP is pretty sweet because I'm using like a I don't know, because if I aim it just oh shoot, I pulled it out. Like I just have your standard,
Yeah, I mean, I have
right?
the
Like
same.
arm, some cheap Amazon $15 arm. But it's that hinged, goes up. With this, it'd be nice to just slide it off to the side, and it's nice and low profile. Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, so some cool stuff from Elgato we were talking about last week, so definitely wanted to give you guys the info on that. Talking about what we real quick, because I'm missing the chat, because that's what I do. George in the chat also said, and Amazon runs all of it on the back end and ends up owning everybody anyways. Yeah, that's gonna be an interesting thing too, like security with that stuff. And we've seen security issues all through different cloud stuff, so that's a whole nother thing. But talking about what we have coming up next week, we have some pretty cool products. So company called Mountain, they made that really cool keyboard a few years ago. They sent us over their Makalu 67, which is a 67-gram gaming mouse, very lightweight. It's more like has more of like a hump on it. I was playing with it the other day, but they sent us over the white one. It's a good looking overall mouse, very lightweight. Of course, lightweight mice are kind of the in thing right now, so I will have that for you. And then also I'm taking a look at another NVMe SSD that is powered by the Phison E18, the Sabrent Rocket 4 Plus. They said it's the world's fastest NVMe SSD, but they're all pretty much the same. Very, very fast speeds. I don't know. These websites are loading really wonky for some reason. I'm trying to get to the specs. Okay.
Not seeing it.
No, here we go. So yes, I mean, same thing, 7,500. So we have the 2 terabytes. So 7,068.50. So good stuff there. So, and they did send their heatsink, which doesn't come included. There is a version that does come included, but it typically doesn't come included. But they sent their big old heatsink with it as well.
Yeah, those things are big with the heat pipes and everything.
Yeah, so we'll be testing it with and without, and we'll give you all of that next week as well. As we come to the end here, like we do every week, if you guys want to ask a question in the chat, you can, or talk about something. And this is where we talk about any tech related stuff that we have done. Have you done anything tech related?
I got in my sit stand desk components and I put the desk together. So I'm working on that review. Hopefully I have it done pretty soon here. I'm excited to, like, as soon as I got it put together,
to stand?
I was like, this thing's awesome. Yeah. So I think it's going to be like when I do work from home, that's going to be like my workstation spot, right? Because I'll just got nice clean surface to put my laptop and what I need for just that task and have the flexibility of sitting and standing. But I think I'm going to get spoiled with it.
I'm interested to see how you like the sit stand dynamic, because
just standing there, like pretending and being like, okay, this is about the height I want it. I was like, oh yeah, this would be pretty nice.
Yeah, it's different. I think that as you do it more, you will get tired from standing. So I usually, in the beginning of my day, I sit, and then towards the end of the day, I stand. That's kind of how I do it. But I'm kind of interested to see what you think about the whole dynamic and how that works out for you. Because once you have it, you can never go back to a normal desk. You just can't. It's just impossible.
So I'm afraid of.
Yeah. So anything else tech related on your end?
Not that I can think of, no. Just like TV shows and movie stuff. So
yeah, I came across a really cool YouTube video the other day. If you're not familiar, it's by Gerald Undone, which he's more like a camera review guy, but he asked a whole bunch of YouTubers. And we have this linked in our show notes if you want to check out the video. It's pretty long. It's like 25 minutes long. But like all of the incredibly popular YouTubers, he asked them like what camera gear do they use. So if you want to see the people that you might know, Hardware Canucks is in there. Nice. Who else is in there? Epost Fox is in there.
Chase 2 cents in there, or like
Bitwit. No, I don't think
Marquise.
Marquise is in there. MBK HD is in there. Yep. He's like the only one that uses like the red 8K camera. But yeah, there's a lot of different people in there, not only tech reviewers, but like camera people and a lot of like popular YouTubers that I watch were in the video. So it was really cool to see. And it's not only talk about some people just talk about their camera, but they talk about like the audio that they use, the lighting that they use. It's really cool. So check it out. Like I said, we have it linked in the show notes. So if you want to check that out and see what other YouTubers or people are using as far as their camera and audio and lights, you can go ahead and check that out. And awesome. I think that is going to wrap everything up. Thanks everybody for hanging out this week. Of course, we do this show every week for the most part, unless Brian and I have something going on. So thanks everybody for hanging out. We will not be gaming tonight. No, we usually game. If you're new here, we usually do game every week. We jump on Twitch and play some games, but we're not going to be doing that this week. So I guess just we'll see everybody next week. But yeah, same time next week, 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday. And that is it. And we'll see everybody next week.